I'm Phil Schneider. I spent 17 years in black budget programs, government geologist, as engineer, structural engineer with aerospace applications. Self-taught metallurgist, became kind of famous in my own right. I basically would have a set of notes here, but they're unavailable in all this melee. Up here I have different artifacts explaining some of them are alien metals that have been produced both on this planet and the confines of outer space that are now used in all stealth aircraft. All stealth aircraft, for instance, all black jets, what you're seeing of black helicopters and the like, the skins and the coatings and the residues that are used predominantly in the aircraft themselves, in the airframes and in the rotor blades and the fans, and in some cases in submarines, special titanium hulls in the Phoenix class submarines now. All this has come from alien technology. 1947 is what the public has been told. Something crashed in the backyard in New Mexico, a place called Roswell, New Mexico. Unfortunately, that's what the public's been told. The military's known about the alien question for the better part of 70 years, and they first saw their glimpse of what was going on as early as 1909 in the American Southwest. Now, Army cavalry evidently were chasing some bandits, and they entered this cave. They were holed up in a cave, and what they found in there was flying discs and little gray guys and all kinds of weird things, and they didn't know how to explain that, and they wrote them down as best they could, and it's been in secret archives ever since. And it's up in down by the Truth or Consequences area of New Mexico. Well, the alien thing is more than just what I'd call a non-visible threat. We on the surface, first of all information dealing with alien or alien reproduced technology or alien reproduced vehicles or any other kinds of things, well hidden from the American public. Our black budget, for instance, garners $1.023 trillion every 2 years. It's over $500 billion a year. Right now, there are 131 active deep underground military bases in the United States. There's 1,477 of them worldwide. Each one has an average cost of $17 to $19 billion. Each one is built in the site. It'd take a year to 2 years to build each one, and now they're capable of building a couple of them a year with sophisticated methods. My colleague Al Bielek has actually been on some of the high-speed railways, the magneto-leviton trains that connect all the deep underground military bases within the United States. He's been on a Mach 2 train and floats off of a single rail at a 3/4 inch off the rail, and is what you'd call high tech. We have nothing like this on the surface. The public basically has been totally lied to. We're considered stupid or even moronic in some cases. It's got to stop. If we're going to gain our country back, we must, and I repeat, must instill in our public officials, anybody that goes and does public service, they must tell us the truth. If they cannot do this, then they must be impeached, or they must be removed from office. If this cannot occur, if the truth cannot totally come out, there are reasons for secrecy, for instance, but if the truth cannot totally come out, what's the use in us having anything called freedom? Okay, now I have pictures here that I'm going to show you during the break in artifacts, and I ask you to kind of look at them but not handle them. I have actual crashed retriever metal from Roswell, New Mexico. It was given to me when I was 14 years old. For instance, I've got other things. I've got pieces pieces of this piece of titanium, a special titanium alloy made for everything from the original SR-71 Blackbird, that's old hat now, F-117A's, their old hat now. They're making a whole new class of hypersonic above Mach 5 aircraft that employ extremely modern charged particle beam weapons. They don't even use lasers anymore. Computer-enhanced imaging radar, although it's used in helicopters for public surveillance, computer-enhanced imaging radar, and in satellite technology. The brand new kid on the block is a kind of infrared technology where a satellite 150,000 miles out in a geosynchronous orbit, or not quite geosynchronous orbit, but these spy satellites can literally look in and see a dime on the floor, say on your kitchen floor. They have a resolution factor of 99.999961. This particular piece of metal, I'm going to drop it on the floor here, it'll kind of ring like a bell. You can't break it. Withstand temperatures in excess of 7,500 degrees Fahrenheit. It has niobium in it. It also has myronite in it, element 123. Yeah, please do. It's in a non-crystalline form. This is just kind of a dripping off of the out of the main crucible. Here's a crystalline example. It's in the scalenohedral crystalline form. We got this from the large grays technology. This is grown in the confines of outer space, which has not quite a super vacuum, but by the way, this is capable of withstanding temperatures in excess of 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's great for certain parts of aircraft. This kind of material I work with on a daily basis. CIA base, it was originally a bombing range, a nuclear test site. It was later become the most secret base in the United States. It employs over 18,000 workers who work in shifts of 12 hours at a whack. Most of them work in the cover of darkness, like us. We built nine underground military bases there, each with an average capacity, capable was basically a city underground, roughly 4.25 cubic miles hollowed out underground. They have boring machines, for instance. They don't bore, they literally vitrify and melt the rock, deflagrate the rock. It's a very sophisticated laser melting and deflagrating system. It reduces the rock to a powder and then melts the remaining rock as a coating on the inside of the base, so you don't have to use gunite cements and other kinds of things like that. That's all old hat now. Technology is just basically the new technology we get is the old hat of the military. I'm going to be real brief about it. I carried a level 1 security clearance, the Rhyolite 38 Factor. There are very few of us. There's nobody except myself, to my knowledge, talking like this. Nobody. I'm breaking the law. I'm breaking world as well as federal law, coming out and even talking about this to a group of people. I love my country more than I love my life. 2 weeks ago, I was shot in the shoulder. I don't want to gore you women out, but I was shot in the shoulder up here. I recently have become friends of a retired FBI agent who took me under the wing. He says, I've never seen a person braver than you. And I said, well, there's more coming. Our patriot movement in these United States is going to pick up the ball, and we are going to kick the parasites out. First of all, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, a few other founding fathers, Patrick Henry to mention a few, all had visions that these United States is going to live 700 years from where they were standing, and that was somewhere around the late 1700s, early 1800s. So you can count this country isn't going to go to a new world order. I believe firmly in constitutional law. I'm not very well skilled in it, and that's my embarrassment. But I'm going to be real blunt about it. The government that is now instilled in ruling over us are ruling as we're serfs and they're the kings and queens. Now, that's a feudal system. That isn't even a democracy. We are now being ruled by an autocracy and a technocracy. In other words, technical knowledge is rules as king with a feudal type system. Feudal systems haven't been used in the last 350 years, and they're coming back like gangbusters. If we are complacent, if we do not speak out in droves, and I'm not just talking about me, I'm talking about a bunch of us getting together and getting on the stump and loving our country more than we love our lives, getting on, some of us are going to get killed. I almost got killed a couple of weeks ago. Hadn't been for an FBI, a retired FBI man, who risked his life, his career, everything, put it all on the line, and he didn't know me from Adam. A week prior to that, he listened to one of my tapes I gave up in Post Falls, Idaho, and I'm going to be very blunt about, he said that we need a lot more of you, but unfortunately we're not getting anybody. Well, I'm not the best speaker in the world, but I'm trying to relay to you that we need to get out and seriously get the message out. These shows are great. This hall should be absolutely packed, standing room only, and we should be getting the message out to as many people as we can with as many shows as there are, is it possibly to reach. The many is the public. We ought to get on talk shows. We've got to get on news shows and TV shows, and we have to really get the message out. And I think we're doing it, but it's a little bit slow in the first part. That's just that part of what I want to say. In working with the Black Projects, I was very loyal. I was picked because I was very strong mentally. There's a bunch of us that were picked because we don't crack under pressure. We don't freak under pressure, so to speak. Everyday events don't bother us. Now, I was involved in something very controversial, almost totally unbelievable to most of you. Some of you are religious people. I think all religions have a time and a place, and they definitely have a place in America. Now, another thing I want to reach to you is that during the unbelievable part, I was involved in building another base inside of Dulce, New Mexico, which is Los Alamos Laboratory. It's a biological laboratory on the southwest part of the Archuleta Mesa. We built an underground facility, a better part of 3 cubic miles, hollowed out underground. Then to the southwest of that, we were in the process of the early stages of building. We drilled 4 large tunnel-like holes. Some of them ran 2.5 miles under the surface. Number of the original drilling machines that were used were at the rate of 2 miles a day. It was fairly rapid. The equipment kept coming up broken. So we wanted to go down. We wanted to send somebody down there, a human observer, or human observers in this case, to find out what was going on. Well, to our total surprise, first of all, the government knew all about it. They didn't tell anybody. When I saw Green Beret and Black Beret people encamped inside of our geologist camp, I knew something was up. The gig was up. First of all, I knew all about the alien agenda. I'll explain that in a few minutes. The large alien graves had been encamped there for as best as believed possible about 400 or 500 years. It had been one of their internal bases. And we we drilled holes right on top of it. All the stinking air, all the black sooty air came right out as soon as the first hole was sunk, and all this soot came up, and well, that's when it all the hell broke loose, really, all started. Anyway, after we drilled all four holes, it took about 2 days to drill all four of them. And when you build a underground base, you drill four basic holes, and then you build, you call stopes or cross member holes across, and then you use blasting equipment, you know, special blasting equipment by the analyzation of the rock formation, and you literally blast out or tunnel out or deflagrate or melt rock out to build the large rooms that are required for this underground base. Well, in this process, I was lowered down the basket of one of these holes, and about from me to this elderly woman here in the front was sitting a 7 foot tall alien gray. The stench was worse than the worst garbage can you can imagine. The entity was absolutely horrible. I didn't waste any time. I reached for my pistol. At that time, as an engineer, I didn't have time to carry all the folderol of one of these big submachine guns that all the sea spray and the yellow fruit and all the outer perimeter and inner perimeter security people carried. I carried old Walther PPK pistol with a 9-shot clip. This was in late August of 1979. Now, you got a regular suit of clothes, you got a regular clothes on, plus you're in a almost like a spacesuit environment, and you're reaching for a gun. It's not the easiest thing to do, and then to pop a clip in it and start shooting. And I killed two of them. Yes, they're mortal, and they do die. One of them did this. All I remember is that he just kind of waved his hand in front of his chest, and the next thing I know, this blue beam hit me and just literally opened me up like a fish. And burnt my fingers right off of me. And it was some form of electrical force, because the kind of like hit being hit by a lightning bolt burned all my toenails off of me. Completely crispy crittered my left foot. Burnt the shoe right off of me. All I remember is the smoking remains, and I'm still conscious, but in and out of, I didn't remember much. And there was a Green Beret that was right behind me that risked his life. In fact, he died. But he risked his life. He shoved me back in the basket and hit the button and took me up. And I wouldn't be alive talking to you today if it wasn't for him. I'm forever indebted. He lost his life. 66 Secret Service agents, Green Berets, Black Berets, crack troops lost their lives because the government, our United States government, lied, did not tell us anything about the alien threat. There's a war underneath there, and I'm talking dead serious. It's been going on since that time. Since late August of 1979, our military, the Russian military, basically the militaries of the world, have been in constant conflict with the outer space alien. The small gray, the large gray, the reptilians, the whole thing. There are 11 distinct races of aliens. Two are benevolent. One had to leave here in a hurry because their world is under attack, both on the surface as well as underground. They're the Pleiadians. Maybe some of you are familiar with that. Would some of you raise your hands who've heard of Billy Meyer and some of the... very good. About half the group. Well, Billy Meyer is one of these lucky people that they figured, well, he's kind of a simple type. We'll show him everything. Well, these are the benevolent aliens, and they've been here helping us. In fact, I have a picture. Let me reach for it here. I have a picture of one of the aliens been working for the United States Pentagon for the last 58 years. His name is Val Valiant Thor. He's right here. There's my father in the background. This whole place, the ready room of the USS Eldridge, Al Bielek has probably explained, or maybe even shown you this picture. There's a list of some of the notable people in it. They're all the atomic bomb scientists of the day, all the time variant experimentalists of the day, all the top physicists of that particular day. This was in August of 1943. Now this guy has not changed one iota in 58 years. Started work, he came here, crashed here or whatever, whether he's under duress or not, he started work for our U.S. Navy and military operations in 1937, either 37 or 38 is what I've been told. So it's for 58 years, this man's been employed, probably under duress. If you don't do as we say, we're just going to use you for alien bait or something, I don't know. But anyway, he basically hasn't changed. He lives for 490 years, is what he says his lifespan is. Now, he was supposedly a semi-benevolent, he's a human-looking type person. He has six fingers and six toes, and he's got one oversized heart, one lung, giant lung. His blood vessels are bigger. He's got copper oxide for blood, similar to an octopus. His brain capacity, 300 centimeters greater than ours. He has a thinking capacity, IQ, if you were to measure, it'd be totally off the scale, be about a 1200 IQ. He speaks 100 languages fluently, alien as well as others. He's a remarkable person. I had a chance to meet him one time. Now, by the way, he doesn't shake hands. He was kind of in a spacesuit because all aliens, regardless benevolent or otherwise, they're carrying germs and diseases and bacterium in and on them that are deadly to us. If I were making policy, I'd quarantine them all because how do we not know that some of our diseases like AIDS, Ebola, hantavirus, and a few of these other weird designer diseases, as I call them, are not made from the cadavers of some of these aliens as a biological weapon to use against the people of the United States. Well, I'm tired. I'm a tired American speaking out. Now, what I'm telling you is kind of almost like a brain overload here. Back in 1946, we set off four atomic bomb tests at Bikini Atoll. It's a group of islands in the South Pacific. I have an original photograph here with original language on the photograph that shows there is a large alien spaceship off a wingtip of a United States aircraft. It was a drone aircraft right at the point where the bomb was beginning to show a neutron flash cloud. Here's the bomb going off. Here's the airplane tip here, and here is the alien spacecraft. Now, in 1947, questions later, please. In 1947, after Roswell debacle, our military got before the U.S. Senate. They were hauled before the U.S. Senate and says, what's going on here? Well, we didn't know anything about disks until this happened. It flopped in our backyard. Total lie. They lied to the U.S. Senate. They should have been prosecuted as traitors. Anybody lying to a United States Senator or House of Representative, any Senator or House of Representative person, President of the United States, Vice President, any cabinet member, lying to the American public is a traitor and should be dealt with in an appropriate fashion. This is actual proof, positive, that this occurred in 1946. Now, the U.S. military knew all about flying discs and flying disc technology as early as 1933. Of course, we remember the Germans did too, the Nazi Germans, Hitler and all their bunch of people. Now, it gets to the big question. If all this has been hidden from us, you know, everybody says, well, where's the proof? I've got some of the proof laying on the table. But A lot of you probably are totally skeptical. They say, well, I could be anything. In my hand here, I have a piece of what's called corbamide. It's the heaviest element in the world. Element 140. This piece of material weighs 15 ounces. 3.5 times the weight of uranium. It cannot be made to emit gamma rays. It cannot be isotoped. It is totally stable. It is used in all stealth aircraft and all Phoenix-class submarines. When combined with other alien elements, it is impregnable. It cannot be melted with charged particle beam weapon. When properly combined in secretive compounds, it can withstand temperatures in excess of 10 million degrees Fahrenheit. It is grown by aliens who have given a good... The other side of the alien question is, some of these aliens have broken off from their mainstream and said, we're not getting a fair shake, and so this is what happens. And I'm talking about the alien greys. Some of them broken away. They're talk about not being popular. Well, this particular piece of metal is an amazing piece of technology.
Hey, what is going on with y'all, man? It's Black Balloon, and I'm coming back with another video. So y'all already know what's going on, man. All right, y'all, look, I hope y'all had a real good weekend, man. I'm just going to come in right here, you know, just to kind of introduce the video. I wanted to get this video out on my last channel. But, you know, as always, we're here with the video now. Finally, we get the video on Phil Schneider. You know, a lot of y'all over time have asked me to do this video. You know, and this kind of video, it's not the hardest thing to do. You know, because there's a bunch of his old lectures online, you know, so this was basically me just going and finding some of like the most important clips. And I may actually make this a part two, because there's a lot. There's like an hour or two worth of information that's, you know, pretty much worth listening to. So I may just do this in two parts, just so we're not digesting the entire thing, you know, that, you know, everything that Phil Schneider talked about, just as far as, you know, the Black Projects, all the government cover-ups and alien stuff and underground bases. It's a lot. It's a lot to take in and listen to. And as you listen to some of the lectures, you can kind of get lost in the information just because it's so much. So maybe we'll just do these in multiple parts just so we could digest the information. And so, you know, just as far as everything, just real quick, you know, this is just kind of those ones where I guess you kind of take it with a grain of salt. You know, he goes down in history with guys like Bill Cooper and the ones that, you know, they had the courage, they had the guts to expose this kind of stuff. And yes, it does sound left field. It does sound way out there, you know, underground bases, grays, big giant grays, big alien grays, battles with the U.S. government and NATO and aliens. You hear all this stuff and you like, whoa, all right, now y'all tripping. I'm on the wrong side of YouTube. This is not what I came here for. Cool. You know, I get that. I get it. But this is real good stuff to listen to. You haven't heard much of it from anyone that like is even creditable to even give out this kind of information. You know, obviously this was a long time ago. So when we hear stuff like this today, we think of it to be some kind of truth because we've seen so much stuff happen since the 90s. And considering the fact that the government just like made all UFO files and all of that stuff, you know, available to the public, at least the stuff that they want us to see. So you could imagine that there's a lot more deeper, darker things that goes on as far as UFO and alien tech and all the stuff that we've been told throughout history. It was mostly a lie, you know. it was definitely a lie. And there's things, bro, there's stuff that, you know, there's things about this world that we would never know, we would never understand. And we all know definitely that technology and the government are years ahead of us as far as what they release, you know, and how they release technology, you know. But, you know, I don't want to just rant, go on and on and on about this video. I really just wanted to come in, introduce Phil Snyder. Most of y'all already know about him. So, you know, I just wanted to come in and just kind of give my like little wrap up of the whole thing, because I didn't want to come in at the end of the video after he's done talking. Now, my last point I want to go over, and I just want to kind of read this from an article. It's about Phil Snyder's death, right? Because he had a very, very odd death. And we all know when they plant these suicide deaths on people like Phil Snyder, you know, whistleblowers and people who can have an influence with the information that they know and have obtained by working for the government. Right. So it says Phil Snyder had a 9mm handgun that he borrowed to protect himself. Snyder had often made public, you know, he'd often made it known to the public that he was marked for death. Quote unquote. He said, if I ever commit suicide, Snyder told a close friend, I'll have been murdered, right out of his own mouth. And we already know how they like to cover these murders up with, you know, telling us that it was basically a suicide, right? So he gave his last lecture. He went on a tour of giving lectures for about 2 years. He gave his last lecture, 2 months before he died, right? January 17th, 1996. Philip Snyder was found dead in Wilsonville, Oregon. He had an apartment in Oregon, right? 1996, January 17th. A lot of us were just little kids. Some of y'all weren't even born. Some of y'all might be, you know, you might be adults. Who knows, right? So he had apparently been dead for several days. His body was found in what appeared to be an unusual position. His feet were under the bed. His head was in a wheelchair seat at an unusual angle, and the rest of his body was on the floor, hands by his side. Blood was found on the floor near his wheelchair, but no blood was found on the wheelchair. No wounds were on his body to account for the blood. No suicide note was ever found. All right, so we get some key points from this paragraph alone that lets us know that he was ritually killed. He was murdered by the people that he was already marked for death from. First, they said his body was found in what appeared to be an unusual position. Feet under the bed, head on the wheelchair seat, so propped up, and the rest of his body was on the floor. So his head was propped up, body on the floor, feet under the bed. Very unusual. Now, where we get that this was clearly a ritual is the fact that there was blood found on the floor near his wheelchair, but no blood found on the wheelchair. No wounds on his body to account for the blood. And, Nina, you know, obviously when they're coming for Phil, Phil is not going to be able to do too much fighting back. I think Phil had health problems. He had chronic lower back pain. I think he had, he had two other things. I forget exactly what it was. But basically the health problems that he had, you know, he sometimes had to have, crutches, body braces, leg braces. I forget what it was. I think it might've been multiple sclerosis or something like that, or one of those that, caused him to have all that stuff. So obviously, you know, probably at his health, he wouldn't have been able to do much to defend himself. So initially they said it was considered to be a heart attack that caused his death, but a later analysis showed impressions around his neck to where, you know, basically this tube, like the little, I don't know how to pronounce that word, catheter tube, is something from him having multiple sclerosis that he uses from his health problems. So basically he was strangled with his own you know, his own tube, basically. And that's how he was killed. It says his surviving wife, Cynthia, had stated that the U.S. intelligence operatives had thoroughly searched their home shortly after his death and made off with at least a third of the family photographs. Cynthia also observed that Phil's lecture material and notes for his unwritten book on UFOs also went missing from his apartment, yet money and valuables remained untouched, which we already know, because they were only there to make sure that any further information didn't get out. She was also told by detectives that there were marks on Phil's neck. An autopsy report revealed that a rubber hose was tied around Phil's neck 3 times and then tied in a knot, which blocked blood flow to his head, resulting in him becoming unconscious and then dying. Notice they tied that knot 3 times. So basically, he has a really questionable death. And for those of us, you know, that follow the page and we do this stuff, we've went back over these kind of cases, these kind of sacrifices and rituals, we already know what's going on. The man was murdered. The reason he went and he started the journey of being a whistleblower and committing to this because his best friend was murdered. His best friend was also in charge of like an alien show, some kind of show that was picking up steam back around that time in the 90s. And his friend was murdered for it, basically, probably for giving out and just having too much knowledge. Or who knows? It could have been murdered just because to scare Phil. Who knows? All right. So that was me just wanting to give y'all a little bit of background about Phil Schneider's death. I may actually put this at the end of the video. So if you hear this in the beginning of the video or the end of the video, don't take it anyway. I just didn't make my mind up on whether or not I wanted this to come in first or last. So that's that. So y'all already know what's going on, man. Like I said, man, hope y'all enjoyed this video. Hope y'all had a good weekend, man. It's Sunday. And y'all already know what's going on, man. We getting back on track. We getting this content out. And, you know, with that being said, y'all holler at me in the comments. Let me know what y'all think about the video. Let me know about any future videos that y'all want me to do and that y'all want to see on the new channel. And let's get this thing back going, man. Let's get this channel even bigger than the last one, man. I need y'all to support, man. Show me that love that y'all love to do so much. And y'all already know what's going on. I appreciate it. Appreciate every last one of y'all, man. It's Black Balloon. And I'm going to see y'all soon. All right. I'm out.